Good morning, New Life, and those that are joining us. God bless you. I'm so excited to share today's message. My message today is entitled, God's Delay. You know, in the last couple of months, our world has changed so much. I just saw where 10 million people have applied for unemployment. We've never been here before. The largest gathering of people unemployed that we have ever experienced. We just came off the largest economic growth to where we are today. Social distancing has become a new term. Schools have been canceled for the year here in our area, and students are e-learning, entirely new concept. Everything has been shaken that can be shaken. I'd like to read out of Hebrews chapter 12 to begin in verse 27, Hebrews 12, 27. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, there's been a delay in deliverance, and a shaking now is taking place. I remember for years we talked about, and I've mentioned before in messages about the seven mountains, how they were going to change and how they were going to fall. And we've seen that right now. Many have talked about 2020 being a year of reset and a year of God giving us new wineskins. And I believe it's coming to pass even as we speak this morning. Many are looking to idols for relief from this plague. And I would caution each and every believer that's listening, do not count on the idols that have come so strongly here in the United States. One illustration I found interesting, back on March 18th, there was an earthquake in Salt Lake City, Utah. 1946 was the last major earthquake. And that earthquake shook the temple in Salt Lake. And the angel Moroni that's on the top of that temple lost his trumpet. It fell. Moroni uses that trumpet, so Mormon teaching says, to blast the message that the return of Christ is coming and for all to come to salvation. If you know anything about Mormonism, it has really nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It's another Jesus Christ that they've come up with. Moroni was the last prophet, he got promoted to be an angel, not just any angel, but an angel that every Mormon believes they'll have to appear before, the angel Moroni, the prophet Joseph Smith, and Jesus Christ. But symbolically, Moroni has lost his trumpet. The true message, I believe, of Jesus Christ is resounding in the earth today. But the reliance on idols is one thing I want to caution you about. Now you say, well, we're Christians. We don't have idols. And I would say that some, yes, but there are many that believe politics is going to deliver us, that American ingenuity is going to deliver us, or bailouts, the checks that we'll all be getting soon from the government, will help us. That mix of what we're hearing in our ears gives us the golden calf that the Israelites experienced when they came out of Egypt and that bondage. Exodus chapter 32, 1, after Moses had been gone for 40 days and not returned, they said, come, let us make gods that shall go before us. And in verse 4, it says, they said, this is your God, the golden calf, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, their deception was so deep that they believed the golden calf was the same Lord that delivered them across the Red Sea into and onto the Promised Land. Of course, we know that wasn't the case. And I believe there's a parallel there in the church. Passover and resurrection happens at the same time this year. Sometimes that's not the case. Passover starts this Wednesday, April the 8th, and ends on the 16th. It's a celebration of the death angel that passed over the Israelites in Goshen, part of Egypt, during the time of the death of the firstborn. The celebration is for the death angel passing over, as I said, and many are hanging, even I see on social media, that many are hanging red banners over their doorposts so that the death angel will pass over them. I've got news for you. The death angel has already passed over because Christ took the keys of hell, death, and the grave, and his shed blood on Calvary has happened already. We just need to stand in the covenant that God made with us. I believe that you and I, my friend, are in a testing time. The church as we know it has shifted. I believe there's a great change. When we come back together, whenever that is, I think the worst thing we can do is go back to the way things were. I've been a pastor for over 30 years, and I understand the responsibility of pastoring a local church, but I can tell you it's each and every one of us that are called to pastor this generation. The responsibility has shifted from just a few in leadership to each individual. The Israelites experienced bondage for 430 years in Egypt. I looked back and 430 years ago in the year 1590, the Americas were just being explored. There was a settlement in Virginia that was settled in 1585, and when they came back to check on them, the whole settlement had disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to them. But that was the beginning of settling the New World, and it was developed over the next few centuries, of course, until what we have now. And then we read in Exodus chapter 2, Moses thought himself to be the deliverer after 400 and some years, or almost 400 years at that time. Moses thought himself to be the deliverer. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' So Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." Now, I can't overemphasize the parallel that I see in this passage to where the church is. You know, 40 years ago in 1980, there was a great awakening that happened in the United States. Not a huge awakening like we're expecting now, but it was a turnaround. One out of three Christians in the 80s identified as being born-again evangelicals. Worship had a resurgence during the 80s. Many turned to the new style of worship, become contemporary. Heretofore in the 1970s was the first time guitars and drums and other things were introduced. 1983 was the year of the Bible. President Ronald Reagan declared that year as the year of the Bible. Religious conservatism dug deep into the culture. We were lashing out at our captors because they had instituted abortion and got rid of prayer in public places, including our schools. We scared many unbelievers with our religious jargon. We began to use religion as a weapon instead of a draw to our society. And out of our zeal, we killed the Egyptian. We actually did what Moses did, in, of course, in a way. And then, like Moses, we fled the world scene. At the end of the 80s, all of a sudden, we were now predicting. We went from trying to straighten out our captors to predicting the return of Christ. 12 major times since 1990, there has been a prophecy about the end of the world. Of course, we know that hasn't taken place, and we've had to endure the embarrassment of those who we promoted to the place of authority that gave that word here in the United States. A little bit of money and a radio station, and all of a sudden, you're a prophet. Hungry for attention, and we were reluctant on obedience. We forgot that we are to obey the Lord and to occupy until He comes. And, you know, it's been such a surprise awakening here in 2020. Many said this is a year of change. We certainly have seen it. We're enduring what the Israelites endured during the last months of being in Egypt. Israel endured the plagues, the 10 plagues of Egypt, happened over a 4 to 5 month period. And the church is enduring the plague at this time. Think of a microbe, an invisible microbe, a virus has put America to its knees, put the world to its knees. And it's a time for the church, if we'll hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and I believe we're all listening now, I hope we are, a time of reset and repentance has come to the church. I can't imagine having to exist and live during that time of plagues, during that four or five month period. Plague of locusts, a plague of mites, of lice, of blood in the water, of complete darkness, a dark darkness for 3 days, a time of seeking God and hoping that those plagues didn't come near Israel, and they didn't. It's a time for us to stand on the covenant that God made with us, that every sickness, infirmity, disease, and curse he took in his own body on the tree. Isaiah says that we, being dead to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. It's a time of reality setting in. This world is not our home. And if we've begun to rely on 401ks and institutions and education, we've done the wrong thing. Israel was delivered from that bondage after the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. But to where were they delivered? They were delivered to the wilderness for instructions. And they all were asked to go to the mountain where they heard the voice of God one time. And then they rejected that and elected Moses to go and hear instead. They said, you go and listen to God and we'll obey. And Moses challenged them to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And of course, they said, we'll do that. But we found that the very first commandment of God, thou shalt have no other gods before me, was broken just 40 days after Moses went to the mountain. In Exodus chapter 32, as I read just a little while ago, they said, come and let us make gods that shall go before us. And the church's interest began to change after what I just expressed in the 80s, a manifestation of the 90s, got most of the church looking at three central locations, Toronto, Canada, Brownsville, Florida, and Smithton, Missouri, where there was manifestations of the Spirit that supposedly was God stirring and repositioning the church. And we spent a lot of that anointing, unfortunately, on ourselves. I'm not saying that it wasn't God. I'm just saying how we reacted to that was not God. All of those things, of course, are in the past history now. And when the new millennium came, we had a renewed interest in the apostolic, and we find ourselves awash with self-appointed apostles and prophets. Not saying that apostles and prophets don't exist. I believe in them wholeheartedly. I've seen them. I have friends that move in that fivefold ministry. I believe it's a valid thing with the church. But there's been a lot of self-appointed apostles and prophets, and the church became self-absorbed once again. We are here for the lost. We are not here for each other. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, God said, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land of flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, all those ites were to be scourged from the land, were to be taken from the land, much like we are supposed to get rid of the satanic influences that have ruled this nation for hundreds of years. That's you and I's job as the ecclesia. God has delivered and is delivering once again the ecclesia from the grip of society. We are about to experience what covenant is really about. Exodus chapter 14:14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. The temptation in the coming months is going to be have us looking to man and man-made institutions. Might I caution you to look to God as our supplier and our provider. Exodus 32, they fashion an idol, and it will be a great temptation in the next couple of months to fashion an idol that's made up of a mix of religion and government and all the seven mountains. We must rely on God and God alone. And I've got a question for you this morning that only you can answer. Are you making gods, fashioning them out of the gold-like things that we hear? The Israelites took the gold earrings out of their ears, what they got as spoils from Egypt, and fashioned a god, and many of them worshiped that god. And we've heard some tremendous things in a lot of ways. Conservatism, Christianity has got a lot of support from Washington. Let me tell you, my friends, that can turn just as quickly as it came as support. But my God will never change who He is. He's supporting us with all of heaven behind us. Do we dare again go back to trusting and relying on education? The educational system has become so corrupt that it's changed generations. Can we rely on religion? Religion has taken its place as being godlike in declaring God's word null and void and creating a religious system that is unlike anything we've seen. It does not agree with Scripture. Can we rely on the secular description of family, what that means? Any group of people that come together know that family is husband, wife, and children that come together under the auspices of the God that we serve. Can we rely on businesses? We've seen that overnight businesses are closing. Overnight businesses are being challenged. I believe God will return and bless, but we cannot rely on that as being a sign of God's blessing. And many are fearfully, on my part, when I think about it, many are trusting the government to bring us back to a place of convenience, to a place of prosperity. Listen, the government of these worlds will fall, but the government of the kingdom of God has never changed. Then, of course, arts and entertainment. Many are bemoaning the fact that we're not seeing movies and things like that. And even Christians are saying, boy, when that happens, we'll know that we're on our way back up. And, of course, many are trusting the media. Can I tell you, don't trust the media. Not because of where they're at. We should never trust what man says over what God has said. Stock markets and retail outlets will not signal deliverance. The presence of Almighty God in His church, in His bride, will be the sign of deliverance. That's the only thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Scripture says, and lean not on your own understanding. We've been warned. Exodus chapter 15 and 26, God said to the Israelites, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha is our healer. My friend, that has not changed. Jesus signified that by His death on the cross. Again, He won over sin and sickness, infirmity, disease, and curse. And that is our promise. It's not some doctor somewhere that's going to come up with a shot that will save us. It's the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that won those things for us. You know, after the Passover, Israel no longer had Egypt to provide for them. And as much as we can't imagine, after 430 years, no matter how they were mistreated, Egypt was their provider. Gave them the land, allowed them to plant their food, and allowed them to raise their cattle. But when they were taken from Egypt into the wilderness, God became their sole provider. for 40 years, they relied on God for their food, for their water, for everything. Their clothes didn't wear out. None of the sicknesses of Egypt came upon them. What manner of people shall you and I be in these end times, my friend? We cannot count on the established pillars in our world because they are being shaken and in fact have been shaken in every one of those things. Education, religion, family, business, government, arts, entertainment, and media have shaken, and I submit they've fallen. Not one of them we can count on, but we can count on the God that never changes. What manner of people shall we be in this hour? Christian, I'm calling out to you to be strong. Go in your prayer closet, a wonderful time to get alone with God and get a hold of Him and hear what God is saying. We have had a wake-up call. Are we heeding it? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll take care of all the other things that we talked about last week. I believe that we will go through further testing. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying, I believe we'll go through further testing. We must resist the temptation to build an idol from the spoils of the world. Things like selfishness and pride and reliance on man must be in our history. It's whatever we've done in the past is gone, but what we do moving forward will tell us what kind of stance that we're going to have. The other night, during, if you'll look on Facebook, you'll see some discussions on Take Heart on the Facebook page on what the pastor's talking about, the our house being built on the rock or on sand. That does not say if we built on the rock, it does not say the winds and the rain will not come. They will come. They are here. But we'll know if we've been built on the rock or on the sand. And we were warned throughout the New Testament, not things that people like to talk about a lot, but Jesus in Matthew 24, when he was asked, when will these things come to pass? He said, when they start, there'll be earthquakes and pestilences and all kinds of things, nation against nation that we're seeing. It's just the beginning of sorrows. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says there'll be a great falling away. And we're experiencing that in our hour. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Some departing from the faith and doctrines of demons that will take hold. My friend, that's in the church. We've got to warn one another and remind one another of the days that we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in writing Timothy, he said, perilous times will come. Men will be boasters, lovers of self, disobedient to parent, disobedient to rulers, and there'll be all kinds of chaos that comes. My friend, I believe we are entering that time and indeed are here. Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says that Jesus will come as a thief in the night to the unexpecting. The heavens passing away in a moment. He says, seeing that everything that we see will be dissolved, what manner of men should we be? Our eyes and our ears must be open to this time in God. My friend, it's not a time to be negative. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be positive that the kingdom of God, I believe God is coming for an overcoming church. He's not coming for a church that's defeated. He's not coming for a church that's hiding or trying to build its own kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God. And I want to recruit each and every one that's listening this morning that knows Jesus Christ. It's time for us to pastor this generation correctly. We should be looking to the author and the finisher of our faith to give us the wisdom for this time. In closing, I want to read a passage with you. If you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to wait for you to get there. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, says this, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. Amen. What was the Apostle Peter trying to warn us of? Trying to warn us that we should not listen to man, but hold on to the precepts and knowledge of Almighty God. My friend, he has poured his wisdom upon us year after year, generation after generation. None of these things should take us by surprise. We should not be surprised about the times that you and I live in. And we're always, I said once before, that we're professional can kickers. We want to kick the can down the road to another generation so they have to put up with and handle what is coming. My friend, I don't think we can kick the can any further. This is our generation. We're responsible for those that are on this planet with us right now. And I'm calling for the Christians. I'm speaking specifically to you. Be all that God made you to be. Use and stir the gifts that are within you. And let's see the world look again once to a God that can deliver them. The God, the only God, the only wise God that loves them more than you and I could ever imagine. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have angel armies that's backing us. We have Jesus Christ that's interceding for us before the throne. It's a time for us to wait while we think God is delaying. I believe God is amassing a group of people to complete the work and have the return of Christ come very soon. I'm praying for you. I love you. Miss you being here together with you. And for those of you that are listening today, if you've not yet made a decision for Jesus Christ, may I tell you, I'm praying for you and I adjure you to consider Jesus. He is the one that died for you, loves you just where you're at, and he has a plan for your life. And if you've come by this broadcast just by accident, it's no accident that you're here. And I would like to invite you to ask Jesus Christ to speak to your heart. How do you do that? You simply just begin to talk to him. We're all sinners saved by grace. That before we came to Christ, we were sinners saved by grace, just like you. And we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Join us again next Sunday here at 10 o'clock at New Life Church. I want to pray for you as we close. Father, I thank you so much for your delay. I thank you, God, for those that have not yet made a decision for you, that during this time, God, that we could be witnesses for you and see them drawn to you just as you drew us, God. We thank you, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds. No matter what we see going on in this world, you're in control. You've never been out of control. And the suddenlies in our life are things that there is no suddenly in heaven, Lord. You know exactly what's going to happen. You've been there before we've ever arrived there. I ask you to touch each and every one that's listening this morning with that peace and joy, realizing that we serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Father God, you will get the glory and the honor and the praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.